We're at Pine Ridge Golf Club, my favourite place to do these podcast interviews, mostly because they serve the best coffee in Surrey Heath, without a doubt. But I'm here with Dennis Fuller, County Councillor Dennis Fuller. Dennis represents Camberley West. Dennis, do you want to just tell us which areas within Camberley West that you represent?
I have one of the most interesting and challenging divisions in the county. I have the Wish Stream as one of the boundaries, which goes through the RMA grounds.
Yeah.
The stream goes into the Blackwater, so that's my Berkshire boundary. And then the Blackwater River is my Hampshire boundary. And halfway across Park Street is the northern boundary. Johnson's Wax in Frimley is the other boundary. So it's St Michael's, Watchett's and Frimley.
And really, that area is quite a diverse mix of... the demographics of the people you represent is quite diverse, isn't it?
Yes, we have one extreme, Avenue Soucy, and the other extreme, some very nice houses with long drives, a lot of steps, so canvassing can be quite tiring.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, I really look forward to doing this interview with you, because I've interviewed a couple of county councillors now coming up to the county elections on May the 2nd, but you're the one that I've been most looking forward to interview, Dennis, because, you know, you're a man after my own heart. You're a great campaigner and community activist. You've done some amazing things in the community, and some that have actually had a national impact. Let's just talk about a couple of your achievements. I mean, the first one for me has got to be the Cedar Lane car park. Now, I played a very, very small part in that campaign to get rid of the cowboy clampers there at Cedar Lane. But your campaign, along with some other great people in the community, Janet Gray, David Allen and a couple of other people, you know, actually managed to persuade Michael Gove to get involved and have this clamping on private land banned. Now, do you want to just tell us a little bit about your campaign there and the impact that it's had?
Well, you're right, I'm a campaigner. I've always campaigned for what I believe to be right. Coming from 7 years on the board of the Ramblers Association, as the only Conservative on that board, there's no more effective rambling, no more effective campaigning organisation in the UK. They started off with a mass trespass on Kinder Scout, and that's how the Ramblers were actually formed. I also spent many years on the board of Surrey Chambers and the local branch, Surrey Heath Chamber of Commerce. I became a county councillor in June 2009, and early in December I got to hear about what was going on in Cedar Lane. People thought, not just then, but they thought for months and years afterwards, this was a council car park which was half an hour free. And from early 2010, people like one particular couple who every fortnight went to Frimley to the bank in their Motability car, they were getting clamped. The people with the Motability car were the worst example, I think, because they didn't have the fine, which I think was £140, to their name. So their Motability car was towed to Capital to Coast Depot in New Haven, and they got it back a month later after somebody paid their fine. But before then, in Christmas 2009, I got a phone call from a lady by herself with one child. She'd lost her Christmas money because they clamped her. And this went right on until August 2010, when we had 3 hours, as you know, on BBC Radio Surrey. And I got the Motability couple to call in. Michael Gove called in, the Krampus called in, I certainly called in, David Allen, who was a great help, like you, phoned in. And over that weekend, the policy was changed. Michael Gove had got hold of David Cameron. I'd spoken to the minister, Lynn Featherstone, and I used the words of our trading standards people in County Council, who'd said that tinkering with any appeals process would make no difference. I said that to Lynn Featherstone 1 week, and the following Monday morning, she uttered those words on national radio and TV. And then the process started for banning clamping, not just in Cedar Lane, but banning clamping on private land throughout England. So at last, we were catching up with Scotland, who banned it 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I, as you know, did a couple of videos down there and confronted the clampers who, I mean, one time I managed to capture them on video. They clamped three people in the space of 10 minutes. I mean, it was like a Formula One pit stop, the efficiency with in which they applied the clamp. You know, and I also witnessed and got a photograph. I didn't have my video camera on me on the day, but I also witnessed a lady leave her blind husband, infirm husband, in the front of the car. She didn't have any change. She went to go and get some change. She came back, and the clampers clamped the car while he was in the car. It was unbelievable. So a massive achievement there, not just for residents of Surrey Heath, but also nationally. You know, thanks to your efforts. So congratulations with that. Now, also, you and I did a little video on the A30 there between Park Street and Victoria Avenue. That's something else that's quite close to your heart. Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm passionate about road safety, and many years ago, after a fatal accident down near the Foresters pub, when three people were killed at Christmas, I had a mini campaign. I made the front page of the local paper at the time, and the speed limit was reduced. That was after I'd nearly been killed on my bike. I was cycling in those days. I won't explain the details. The stretch of A30 between Park Street and the Meadows is so dangerous that the junction of the avenue at A30 featured on national television a couple of years ago. And I speak to residents, I speak to the churches. You and I interviewed the man from the Catholic Church. I spoke to somebody from the mosque. I speak to people at the arena. People who visit the arena, like I do, come up and say, "Dennis, what are you going to do about these junctions? It is so dangerous." Accident rate is far higher than it should be. And we've now at Surrey just completed a traffic movement study, which I'll be looking at after the election. I'll be going down to Leatherhead to look at it in detail to see what can be done about the A30.
It is very dangerous. I mean, you read stories. In fact, the Cambly News have recently done a story on actually how dangerous it is. In fact, didn't the reporter have a close shave there or something?
I went to a function at St Michael's Church. Using my members' allocation funds, I gave some money to improve the kitchen at St Michael's, and the reporter was there. On the way home, he had a near miss on the bus lane, and he phoned me up to say, "You're campaigning about the A30, I'll do a headline for you." And it was the headline news in the following week's edition.
Yeah. I mean, and I speak to a lot of residents as well who regularly, you know, have near misses there. And there's been some pretty awful accidents down there as well over recent years, hasn't there? So, okay.
There's also the effect, because of the queues, because people misunderstand the bus lane, they don't read the signs, or they can't read the signs when it's dark, or when it's raining, or when they're doing 40 miles an hour, which I think is too fast. They dive down the avenue, down Grand Avenue, through Heatherley Road onto the Frimley Road to beat the jam which happens at the Frimley Road junction. Now, I've talked to many people along the avenue, including one lady who's lived in the avenue towards the Frimley Road end for 40 years, and her wall has been demolished 10 times.
Wow.
I have the photographs. In fact, I've given the photographs to our highways officers, and at this time, they're looking to see what safety measures can be put in.
Right. Okay. Now, something else that I really respect you for, Dennis, and something that I've noticed since I've been a councillor and observing your career as a councillor, is that you don't have a problem with going against the officers if you think that what they're doing is wrong. That's something I really respect you for, and I think that residents should respect you for as well, because, you know, it irritates me sometimes when I see some councillors, will just routinely go with officers' recommendations, partly because I think that maybe it's easy to do that, but also, you know, to be fair to them, I suppose that, you know, they trust the judgment of some of the officers who have the expertise. But if you don't agree with it, I know that you don't have a problem with challenging that. And I think that's something residents should respect you for.
I believe that the Conservatives in Surrey and Conservatives nationally are best placed to do what's best for the country. But I represent the residents. They put me here. I've got the local knowledge, and I will put them first.
I mean, you're a councillor first and then a Conservative, in that order.
Yes, absolutely. One example was the idea that our cabinet at Surrey had of raising money by putting parking meters in St Michael's. I campaigned, I spoke to residents, and the message was, no, we don't want parking meters. It will just make people park further away from town. Siemens in Frimley are one of my biggest businesses, and I work fairly closely with them. We need Siemens. We need Siemens for jobs in Camberley, in Surrey Heath, and in the UK. Mm. Siemens alone in the UK, if they were a British company, would be well towards the top of the top 100 companies in the country. We need them. And yet, the Surrey Heath planners and the Surrey County Council planners were saying, you can't bring as many people to work by car as you would like to do. Now, Siemens have a travel plan which is second to none. They have bicycle loans, they have showers, bicycle parks, they run buses, they lend the buses to local businesses. I'm speaking to Siemens next week about using their buses to help the poor in Surrey Heath. That's for another day.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke in County Hall and I said, all Siemens want to do is allow 120 staff to park their cars down the Frimley Road on a building site in Lion Way until such time as the building site is built on. I said, if Siemens were to relocate their Camberley business to Portugal, to Spain, to Italy, the government and the councils over there wouldn't care if everybody in Siemens came to work in a tank.
Mm.
If they had Siemens relocating to their locality, they would welcome them.
But I think that should be any company, not just Siemens. I mean, Siemens is an incredible company, very prestigious, and it's great to have them in the borough.
Yeah.
But any company offering employment opportunities, especially to young people. I mean, Siemens, I spent a day in the offices there. They employ an incredible amount of young people there. You know, we as a council, whether it be borough or county, need to be supporting businesses like that. And on the subject of Lion Way, there is an issue at the moment about parking. I know that affects your ward. It also affects the Parkside ward. I mean, I did an interview with a resident who had attended the local area committee, and they were so frustrated at the proposals for parking because a lot of the hospital staff are not using the park and ride service from Lion Way and all the rest of it. How does that affect your ward?
My neighbour David Iverson and I, given that we're re-elected, or even if we're not, have got to work on the hospital to get their staff parking under control. It's not fair on my residents in Gilbert Road, who cannot park outside their house. They can't have visitors. They're woken up at any hours of the day or night with people starting their cars because, as you know, the hospital work shifts, and we've got to change it. This knocks on to the transport policy. I am committed, as are my colleagues, to improve the rail service. We've had a setback. We really, really want the Sturt link to be joined up so that people can come to Camberley and Frimley by train. There are some good bus services. The number one bus service, number three bus service is good. We can't get buses to London or to Heathrow, and we can't get buses onto the trading estates.
Mm.
And I've been campaigning with the bus companies to run a bus from Blackwater Station onto the trading estates. Therefore, people could come by train as opposed to coming by car. To do that, we need links from the A30 and from the Blackwater Valley Road onto the trading estates.
I mean, transportation is a massive issue, especially when you consider the amount of development that's about to happen, not just in Surrey Heath, but across all the neighbouring boroughs as well. An astonishing amount of development. I've mentioned this in previous podcasts. 3,500 dwellings over in Aldershot, roughly about the same here in Surrey Heath. We've got the Derra site, near Chobham there at Longcross. An enormous amount of development. And I've got to say, Dennis, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but if you speak to most residents, they haven't got a lot of confidence in the county council to resolve those infrastructure issues. I mean, what would you say to that?
The county council are well aware of the issues. John Fury is an excellent cabinet member, and I've worked with John Fury for many, many years. He knows our problems. He's been to Surrey Heath twice with me. I've invited him to Station Road to look at the latest issue. Our hands are tied to an extent by the legislation involving the Thames Basin Heath special protection area. Too much money is going into creating mitigation land. Part of it should be spent on getting better roads, bridges, roundabouts, so we can allow our traffic to move.
I think I know what you're alluding to there, particular Sangs, which I know is a subject close to your heart. We're going to cover that in just a minute. Okay. Okay, thanks for that. Now, challenges, because I think that it's important that residents, that they want to know that you understand what the issues are and what the challenges are. Now, in your mind, where would you say they lie?
Oh, infrastructure. Mm. Infrastructure, infrastructure. That is the biggest challenge we have. And underlying that, it's money. Surrey is one of the worst funded authorities in the country. 20% of our money approximately comes from the government. In Nixtor, Hammersmith and Fulham, they get 70%. Over the border in Feltham and Hounslow, they get about 50%. We're grossly underfunded. We've got an increasing number of elderly people. Thankfully, we're living longer.
I mean, adult social care. I mean, I don't want to go into that too much, but adult social care is without a doubt a time bomb. That is a major crisis that we've got, an increasing ageing population. The county council has an enormous responsibility there.
Well, not only that, but the number of children is increasing. We've got to find hundreds of millions for new school places. We managed last year. We've got to do the same for the next 5 years. I'm on the education committee. The increase, I think, over 5 years is 8%. It's a big ask. And then there's the roads. Surrey is the second biggest contributor to the national economy after the City of London in the whole of UK. We have a lot of businesses. We do well. But of course the roads are overused, and given the bad weather we have, which causes rain, then the rain under the surface freezes and then thaws, we get potholes. And we've got to spend hundreds of millions to get our roads in good shape. A road doesn't last forever.
No.
And I ask people to bear in mind when they're looking at the state of the roads, every day this country is spending about 200 million on interest on our national debt. Now, we're spending 120 million on improving our roads over 5 years in Surrey. That will cover 16% of the roads needing care, including Frimley High Street. Just imagine if we weren't paying all of this interest on the national debt, how good our roads would be.
Right, okay. Now, challenges. I know that young people are a matter close to your heart and their development. I mean, what are you doing to further the aspirations of young people?
For Surrey County Council, I represent them on the Life Train Trust, a charity based in Surrey, which helps give people who haven't, for whatever reason, got any qualifications to gain a qualification. And there are other charities in Surrey doing the same sort of thing, and the county are working very closely with them. Some children don't have the chance in life that people like you and I have had, and we've got to give them a hope.
Well, I've got to say, Dennis, actually, I mean, I agree with you there, but I was given all the chances. I left school without any qualifications whatsoever. But I think that I've got the brains to help me get on in life. But not all the people get the same opportunities. I know you and I work together on the Youth Council steering group there. You know, I know you've come up with some great ideas there. But young people, I mean, the unemployment of young people, I mean, it's astonishingly difficult for these people to get work. What are the County Council doing to improve that situation?
Well, the County Council have a policy for creating apprenticeships. We're right. throwing money into apprenticeships, and if I get re-elected this year, I'll be on the same education committee. We're now merging education at Surrey with children's, so I'll be vice chairman of a joint education and children's committee. And one of the first jobs we have on the agenda is to look at how the apprenticeship scheme is going. We are reducing the number of NEETs. Children,
just explain what a NEET is.
A child who's not in employment, education or training.
Right.
The number's going down, but it's not going down quickly enough for my liking. And we've got to give these people a chance. So youth is very high on my list of priorities, particularly the youth which is disadvantaged.
Right, good enough. Now, also something, another matter close to your heart is speed limits around schools.
Yes, some schools don't need speed limits. And if you go to certain schools, like I speak to the schools in Surrey Heath, there aren't accidents. You'd think there would be, but there aren't. But if a school really thinks that it should have a 20 limit, then I will fight to get it.
Right.
It is as simple as that. I've spoken to some, others haven't come back, but that's on my list of items to do. If they want a 20 speed limit, I've now established what the current policy is, and I'll be following that up.
Brilliant. Okay, now finally, and we're going to wrap this up in a minute, but finally, I know something that you have spoken out against a lot over the last couple of years is SANGs. Just explain what SANGs is, and also explain why you think it's counterproductive.
I've told you already I'm a member of the Ramblers and spent time on the board. Nobody is more passionate about the countryside than myself. Jack Straw, when he was the minister many years ago, with every good intention, signed up to a European policy to protect wildlife at risk, including the famous Dartford warblers. So as a result, we have the Thames Basin Heath special protection area surrounding Surrey Heath. So for something like 5 years, there was no building whatsoever taking place in Surrey Heath. I'm still telling people why the Duke of York has only just disappeared, having been derelict for many years, why the classic cinema on the A30 is still there. Under this policy, you could not build within 3 miles of where a Dartford warbler or protected species might be living, which was the whole of Surrey Heath. So after 5 years, when building companies, including friends of mine, one in particular, his business was sponsoring our buses for the disabled, he went bankrupt. He moved his business to America. After 5 years, Natural England, who've got more power than the Prime Minister,
A quango,
said, OK, provided you create mitigation land, in other words, a suitable alternative natural green space, we will let you build. Now, that's OK in theory, if you're talking about the sort of sang we have down at Knockcuts, where there's a nice green space in front of the houses. But people don't know that part of the Knockcuts sang is the area between King's Ride, the A30, and College Ride. The people buying the houses at Knockcuts paid for lay-bys on College Ride. And I know, and the councillors on the Old Dean know, coaches, lorries park on those lay-bys, dog walkers park on those lay-bys, across College Ride into the very area that the sang is intended to protect. It's nonsense. Within that sang, there are deer. At the widest, the sang is about 200 yards wide. Nobody in their right mind is going to let a dog off on that sang. I represent Surrey County Council on the amazing Blackwater Valley Countryside Partnership. We have a sang called Hawley Meadow, opposite Sainsbury's. To get there, you've got to cross the Blackwater Valley Road. I'm all in favour of putting money in to improve that facility. It's a lovely meadow, but how many people know that is a sang?
I didn't know that until you just said it.
That is a sang funded, which is going to enable building to take place on the A30, the Duke of York site and the cinema site. But who is going to take their dog down to the meadows, turn left down the Blackwater Valley Road, and park up at Hawley Meadow when they can go down King's Ride and walk onto Barossa
Common.
Yeah,
I mean, they might do it if they want to go for a nice walk at the weekend, yeah. but people who are working and all this and need to give their dog a run in the morning before they go to work are not going to drive all the way over there.
And my view, I know my view is shared by the fire service. I work very closely with our fantastic fire service in Surrey, and it's shared by other experts who don't speak publicly, but I've spoken to them privately. Any money we get from developers should be used to protect our valuable, fantastic heathland against its biggest danger. And the biggest danger is fire. Now, one of the fire officers still has the jacket potato that was being barbecued that caused a fire on Frensham Common. I love walking around Frensham Ponds, one of my favourite local walks. Frensham Common is black after 3 or 4 years after that fire. When we had the Swinley Forest fire 2 years ago, I was up on the Old Dean canvassing for one of your colleagues, and I saw the fire coming towards Camberley. It wasn't far off Broadmoor Prison. It wasn't far off the RMA. Of the 40 vehicles that came across the south of England to help fight that fire, only one of the 40 could actually go off-road to the source of the fire. Now, I would like to think that part of my campaign, part of my discussions at the Communities Committee at Surrey County Council, part of my discussions with the fire officers has led to a new policy whereby we are now getting Land Rovers and similar vehicles that can go quickly to the source of a heath fire.
Like off-road, yeah.
That's where the money should be spent. If there's a real need for a SANG, if there's no alternative, that's fine. But to dig up tarmac at deep cuts, when across the road you've got the area we're sitting now, Frimley Fuel Allotments, which doesn't have Dartford Warblers, which isn't heathland, you've got hundreds of acres here on the fuel allotments. Why are we digging up tarmac at deep cut? Why are we wasting money which could be spent so wisely on our heathland? It makes my blood boil.
Right, Dennis. Well, look, I think that I really hope that residents get behind you on May the 2nd. Like I've said earlier, you're a great campaigner. Your heart is definitely in the right place, and I'm really looking forward to working with you again come after May the 2nd. Thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure.